Om Ajnanati Madanasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
Hoi Krishna Sevon Mukha Brahma Hoi Te Naradera Mati Narada Hoi Te Vyasa Madvako He Vyasa Dasa Puna Pragna Padmanabha Gati Nrihari Madhava Bamshe Akshobhya Paramahamse Shisha boli angikara kore Akshobhyera shisha jaya tirta name parichaya Tadase jnana sindhu tori Taha hoi te doya nidhi taradasa vidya nidhi Rajendra hoi lo taha hoi te Tahara kin kora jaya dharma naime parichaya Parampara jano balo mate Jaya dharma dasye kyati Shri purushottama jati Tahate brahmanya tirta suri Vyasa tirta taradasa Lakshmi pati vyasa dasa Taha hoite madhavendra puri Madhavendra puri baro shishya baro shishvara Nityananda shri advaita vibhu Ishvara puri ke danya korilen shri chaitanya Jagad Guru Gaura Mahaprabhu Mahaprabhu Shri Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahe Anyam Rupanu Gajani Rajivana Vishvambara Priyankara Shiswarupa Damodara Shri Goswami Rupa Sanatana Rupa Priha Mahajana Jiva Raghunathana Tar Priya Kavi Krishna Dasa Krishna Dasa Priya Bara Narottamo Seva Paro Jarpada Vishvanatha Asha Vishvanatha Bhakta Sata Bala Deva Jagannatha Tar Priya Shri Bhakti Noda. Shiga Kishora Bara Hari Bhajanete Jara Moda Yahara Paramahamsa Gorangera Nija Bamsha Tandera Charane Mama Gati Ami Seba Urasina Name Te Tri Dandidina Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Shri Barshabhana Vibhara Sada Sevya Seva Para Tahara Dayita Dasa Nama Tara Pradhan Pracharako Shri Bhakti Vedanta Namo Patita Janete Doya Dama Patita Janete Doya Dama Patita Janete Doya Dama. The last verse was added to include His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has spread the message of Lord Chaitanya throughout the world and is thus a reservoir of mercy and compassion for all fallen souls. So we'll take this song as our Mangala Charana in requesting the mercy of the great Acharyas to bless us in this place so we can meditate on the Lord and His mercy coming through them. And as we talked about in Jagannath Puri, it is essential, of course, in any system of knowledge that one accept axiomatic truth. Otherwise, one can't make progress. There has to be, one has to admit that at some point I cannot figure everything out for myself. And one must find the best source of knowledge. Our acharyas have gone to great length to explain the epistemology or system of understanding the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, how we know what we know is true. Especially, you'll find this, for instance, in the Sri Tattva Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami. And this requires accepting the self-effulgence of Shastra, the transcendental literature. So the Acharyas are connected to Shastra, they're married to Shastra, they speak on behalf of Shastra. And as mentioned in the prayers to the six Goswamis by Srinivasacharya, the great Acharya is Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno. Sunipuno means like a kind of a genius when it comes to Shastra, who knows how all of them fit together, because after all, the Vedic literatures themselves, if you look at them carefully, in this age no one can understand them. And when you come to the Upanishads, they're a bit enigmatic also. Anyone can go to a bookstore nowadays, like the Bodhi Tree in Los Angeles or Shambhala Books in Berkeley, California. There are many bookstores or East-West Books in Mountain View, right near where we are. We just did a program there recently. They have lots of books, including the Upanishads. But I guarantee you, nobody in Mountain View understands them, except for Mukharavind. people go in, they'll look at the Upanishads and they'll say, oh, I understand, I'm God. So after the Upanishads, of course, then there's the Vedanta Sutra, which is a summary of all the Upanishads. But it's written in such terse language that no one can understand that either. Therefore, the Acharyas have all given commentaries on the Vedanta Sutra. And their commentaries differ, of course, according to the line that they come from. But all the Vaishnavacharyas, up until our line, gave commentaries. And we didn't really have one until the Sri Govinda Bhashya was made, because the Vaishnavas always considered that the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this is a fact and it's corroborated in Shastra, is the natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the author himself, Srila Vyasadeva, after his meeting with his spiritual master and having revelation. It's actually called Samadhi Bhashya, because after he went into Samadhi and came out, after having seen Krishna and his pastimes for himself, he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is an eternal literature, as according to Shukadeva Goswami. So we see in this temple how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was leading with this idea of the Acharya Sampradaya, that we are following a tradition of great Acharyas who are perfect in following Shastra. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, each one has a slightly different presentation of our relationship with the Absolute Truth. As Satyadeva Prabhu was taking around the devotees from China and explaining to them the various nuances of the Acharya's teachings in dualism, that there's a difference between the living entity and God. And of course, we know simultaneously there's also not a difference. But this is a point of great contention, because Shankaracharya gave the idea that actually the jiva is God who has forgotten that he's God and been through some kind of illusion separated, and simply clearing the illusion means then he realizes that he's God again. The acharyas that we see around the mandir here vociferously argued against this in writings and speeches and so forth, because this extinguishes the possibility of the eternal loving relationship of the living entities with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So one point about these various acharyas, I was just talking to Rajendranandan about this morning, as mentioned in the Navadip Dham Mahatmya, each one of them has, as I say, given an exposition of devotional service according to the Shastra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's mentioned, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedanta Krid, Vedanta Vit, he's the knower of the Vedas, he's the teacher of the Vedas, and so forth. So these acharyas get their information from the inspiration of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in the age of Kali Yuga, in order to present a universal religion, he synthesizes the teachings of these four acharyas in such a way that each one of them, he takes two of the main points that they taught and brings them into his overall teachings. So let's see if we can get them correctly. And if I don't, then I have Raj sitting, Rajendranandan Prabhu, sitting right next to me. You probably noticed, Jayashri noticed, I think she was the first one to point it out. Is she here? She was pointing out to us that next to each one of the acharyas around the mandap, there's their teacher. So each line comes from a transcendental personality. So we have Nimbarka. Did you see the four Kumaras sitting right next to him? Oh, who showed you? I say. Very nice, yeah. Okay, and then Ramanuja? Mahalakshmi was there. And from Madhva, we all know, we're from the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, right? So Brahma is there. And Vishnu Swami? Yeah, Rudra is there teaching. So each one comes from one of these transcendental personalities. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, from Ramanuja, he took the principle of unmotivated devotional service, no gyan, no karma. As we know from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, jnana karmanyanavritam, krishnanashilanam. This practice of devotional service must be free from gyan and karma. And only motivation is pure service to Krishna. And also he took from Ramanuja the principle of service to the devotees. That this is an important principle, that the devotees are the tadiya, they're the paraphernalia of the Lord. And as Lord Shiva says, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmat Paratanam Devi Tadiyanam Samarchana. That the highest worship is worship of Lord Vishnu, but higher than Lord Vishnu is worship of his tadiya, which is what's dear to him. And the devotees are most dear to him, as Krishna himself says. So from Ramanuja, from Madhva. Madhva was very strong in defeating the Mayavadis. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu picked up this mood. And we know from Srila Prabhupada, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarne, one of his great missions was to come and defeat this Mayavad and Shunyavad philosophy. And he also took service to the deity, because anybody here who's been to Udupi knows that Madhvacharya established the worship of the deity of Krishna. And he preached that the form of Krishna is an eternal form and completely transcendental. This is one of the foundational points of deity worship. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took that from Madhva. And then we have Vishnu Swami. And Vishnu Swami, he took the sentiment of exclusive dependence on Krishna, which is the hallmark of surrender, of simply depend on Krishna. And the rag mark, that the ultimate goal of our practice is coming to the point of spontaneous devotion. And finally, Nimbarka. Nimbarka, he took the necessity of taking shelter of Srimati Radhika, and also the high esteem of the gopis' love for Krishna. So again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that actually all of these things come from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he instills them in the acharyas, and then when he comes to preach in the Kali Yuga, he takes them back again, these various points, and brings them to bear so that we can take advantage of the most perfect and intense practice of devotional service. There's a lot more to say about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in this place, but I want to we'll keep it fluid, and we'll also take some reflections, because it's Ekadashi, a lot of you are fasting, and maybe a little tired too, and it'll be nice to be interactive. So anyway, we'll take a couple of reflections, and then I'll pass it over to Rajendranandan Prabhu and Satyadev Prabhu, and we can continue. What things did you hear so far? Narendra Prabhu, his microphone's coming right for you now.
Shankaracharya has given a lot of philosophy, and then he cancelled his own philosophy. He says, Bhajgovindam, Bhajgovindam. And not only that one, I think I've heard many other statements.
Yes, he cancelled it, but not everyone got the message yet.
So
that's our job. So we have to help. That's why we distribute knowledge. Book distribution is important. Books actually change society. They are containers that hold these desire, these idea seeds that go out into the world. So much of the world has been affected by Mayavada's philosophy. Other preachers have come to the West and just taught a mishmash of ideas, not even strictly Shankaracharya's philosophy, but a mishmash of ideas. And people are very much confused, partly because they like to be confused, because that when the truth is obfuscated, then pretty much you can do whatever you like. And when it gets really clear about what you're supposed to do, and Krishna says in the Gita, "Ye me matam idam nityam anutishnanti manava," just do what I say and you'll be okay. And if no one wants to actually do, well, many people don't want to do that. Thank you, Narendra. What else? What did you hear?
So it's important, like, how he took the ideas of from each sampradaya and, you know, connected all of that. It's very nice.
Nice. Thank you. Now, let's hand it over to Raj.
Hare Krishna. Vaisheshika Prabhu said that somebody asked about the significance of this pond, Radhakund, and he asked me to say something along the lines of how it manifests, etc. To speak about Radhakund, I remember, I'll tell a personal story in regards to this kund. Nectar of Instruction explains how Srimati Radharani is the dearest, most elevated servant of the Lord, and that her kund is equally dear to Krishna as she is. It's the personification of her love for Krishna, and that anybody who has any sense will go there and render devotional service, hoping to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani in the service mood to Krishna. So having heard that in 1977, it was the first time I got to come to Sridhar Mayapur, and when they pointed out, this is Radhakund, in my enthusiasm, I went down there and loaded up about 3 different lotas of the water from that kund. And for the next week, my samadhi or bhajan kutir was in the toilet. So the way to honor this kund is not by drinking its water, but taking a few drops on your head. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur did his vrat of chanting 1 billion names here. And this is where he received the blessings of his Guru Maharaj and Bhakti Vinod Thakur and the previous acharyas, the 6 Goswamis, telling him, go out and preach. Don't worry. By this time, his gurus had passed away. And they said, don't worry, we will give you everything you need, men, money, all resources, all support. You just go and preach the pure message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. While chanting, we know that the Lord is captured by the pure devotee's love and service. So similarly, Krishna is everywhere. He's captured by the devotee. So similarly, the Dham is actually everywhere. Krishna is everywhere. He's never separated from his Dham. And Sri Radhakund manifests to Bhaktisiddhanta. She gave him her darshan. And he asked that this kund be excavated so that people could appreciate that this is a very sacred place. It's been stated by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, those who are Vaishnavas are actually worshippers of Vishnu, and those who are devotees of Krishna are known as Karshanas, and those that are servants or worshippers of Srimati Radharani are known as Gaudiyas. And so we are Gaudiyas, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, we're all catching up this mood, trying to receive the gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, Krishna Prem, and stating that the highest form of service to the Lord in this love is in that of the gopis. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is passing this down in our disciplic succession, our line from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. However, it is the most lofty understanding of the absolute truth. And so it's not like you hear Srila Prabhupada, you know, in every class talking about Srimati Radharani and the gopis, etc. That was in the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He went on parikrama, took hundreds, if not thousands, of devotees to Vrindavan, and they went to Radhakund. And you know what message he preached at Radhakund? He preached on the Upanishads, like Vaisheshika Prabhu was talking about, lofty philosophy. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that before we can discuss the glories of who Krishna is and what pure devotional service is, you have to spend 90% of the time explaining what it is not. And so in that way, he preached on the Upanishads, let's get the basis down. The absolute truth is a person. You know, start from that and you're his eternal servant. And build upon that, the Sambandha Abhideya, that will lead to Prayojana. So anyway, Radhakund, Shyamakund manifest here to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Very, very transcendental, very sacred place. And the devotees, you all know, well, that's at the foot, or that's in Radha, you know, Govardhan Hill is right there, you know, surrounding Radhakund, Shyamakund. So they asked if they could also bring or ask or build a replica of Govardhan Hill. So there's Govardhan Shila there and many rocks to remind us of, Govardhan Hill also, the dearmost devotee of the Lord. I know Vaisheshika Prabhu has a very, very strong attachment to Giriraj Maharaj Ki. So this is very much appreciated. But once again, I'll end on this note that these things are understood by hearing, you know, what we see or what we taste. Srila Prabhupada, one time when his disciples were being frivolous and playing, jumping in, diving, swan diving, clowning around in Radhakund, he said, no, this is not the way to approach Radhakund. This is the most sacred waters of love of Godhead. Said that Radhakund can turn into Narakakund if one has the wrong consciousness in approaching such a sacred place. Similar quote, but very similar quote. One doesn't become purified by such topics. One can become putrefied if one has a sentimental or offensive mentality, taking it cheaply. This most exalted devotional service of Srimati Radharani and her maidservants to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna.
The samadhi of Gaurakishore Das Babaji, is this pushpa samadhi or full body samadhi?
It's the full body samadhi, right?
It used to be elsewhere, and then the Ganga rose and was flooding, and there was danger of his transcendental form being lost, and so they dug up his samadhi and they brought him here.
Okay.
I just want to share my appreciation for Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj and his teaching, and especially his emphasizing the importance of shiksha, that our line is actually a shiksha line. Just like if you look in the Bhagavad Gita at the end of the introduction, he has made a list of our different acharyas in our line, and it's not actually a diksha line, but it's a shiksha line. And there is one purport. Sounds weird, huh? Can you hear me? All right, does that sound better? No? Sounds the same. Anyway, there's a section in the Bhagavatam, the first canto, I think it's chapter 15, where it's talking about how the Pandavas, they went back to Godhead directly they didn't have to change their bodies, but in their present bodies, they went back to Godhead. And Prabhupada, he says in the purport, he says, this is proof that you don't need to change your body in order to go back to Godhead. Or in other words, you don't need to take initiation or second birth. And he says in that purport, the real cause of a change of heart that causes one to go back to Godhead is receiving qualified shiksha or instruction from a realized soul. And he emphasized that that we really need that change. It's not just simply as it became, you know, later on after Lord Chaitanya disappeared and the disciple succession became, all the focus was on diksha and a diksha from those sometimes that weren't actually very qualified, just like touched by a stick or a magic wand, you know. Now you're connected, and that's it. But the real change, the real advancement, it comes when we get the association of realized souls and hear from them, and by hearing that instruction, we apply that in our life. You know, it's not just the hearing, but it's acting upon the hearing that causes us to awaken and become qualified to go back to Godhead. And also how he brought, he showed the union between the four major teachers and disciplic successions, and how they're all pointing to one God. There's the jiva and there's God, and they're different. And how he connected us all and showed that we were all basically on the same page. The universal, you know, the jiva dharma, the dharma of every jiva is to worship God, and you can't do that if you think you are God, right? And so there's so much we have in common with the other four major disciplic successions. And I've been told that especially the Ramanuja Sampradaya has always been very positive towards our movement. And there's a lot of positive interaction between ISKCON and the Ramanujas. Anyway, they buy a lot of Bhagavatam sets. So, thank you.
We have yet to go to Shiva Sangam, which is, it's now 1 o'clock. So in just a couple minutes, we'll transport ourselves to that special place, which I don't know what the environment will be like when we get there to sit and talk. There's not a lot of space at Shiva Sangam. That's one of the special features of that place. It's so tiny, and you think that how is this significant, but you can feel it for yourself. So I'll just say a couple words just before we leave there, just in case we don't have much time or space to sit down and have a little talk about the Shiva Sangam. There are notable pastimes that took place at Srivas Prabhu's house. Of course, Srivas Angam is like, it's not necessarily his house, but it's kind of the garage almost, right next to the, Angam means a little attachment to his house, right? Where they had the kirtan hall, where they had their kirtan. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, as we talked about the other day, after he took initiation from Srila Ishvarapuri, he became, his mission as an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his spiritual emotions erupted, I should say, when he came back to Navadvipa. And one of the places where he went and showed that was at Srivas Prabhu's house, where we're going next. And in fact, you'll hear the story in the Chaitanya Bhagavat about how Srivas Thakur was worshipping his deity, Lord Nrisimhadev, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and began knocking, kicking at the door and saying, Shrivas, open the door. Who are you worshiping in there? Don't you know I and Nrsinghadev are the same as I? It is I. I've come. And Shrivas was fearful. He opened the door, and he'd never seen the Lord like this before. He came in, and he sat down on the altar. And it is in that place where he displayed his godhood for 21 hours. It's a famous pastime in which he calls everyone from all over Navadvip and asks them to take benedictions and reveals about each one of them some intimate aspect of their life that nobody else could have known. And it's a very heartfelt festival that the devotees had over 21 hours. They performed Abhishek there in that house for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was saying, according to the Vrindavan Das Thakur, Shiva, sing that bathing song, and meaning the Purusha Shukta, which you use when you bathe the Lord. And sing that bathing song. Vrindavan Das Thakur points out, Shrivas and all the other Vaishnavas knew all these songs and knew all these shlokas and everything, and that Vaishnavas are not without a complete knowledge of all procedures. He also gave the first Vyasa Puja to Lord Nityananda at Shrivas Thakur's house. When he came there, when Lord Nityananda had come, and that's a long pastime unto itself, but he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there in Shrivas Thakur's house, and they performed. Actually, Shrivas volunteered to perform the Vyasa Puja ceremony, and they did that in his home. Also, he revealed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his six-armed form, to Lord Nityananda in that place. And he showed Shrivas his form of Lord Nrsinga in that place. One day, Shrivas Thakur was reciting the Vishnu Sahasranam. And when he came to the name of Lord Nrsingadev, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became Lord Nrsingadev and began chasing people all over Navadvip with a stick. Shrivas came after him and said, "My Lord, please, this is not your purpose in this incarnation." And Mahaprabhu became very reticent because he had offended people by scaring them. There also at Shrivasangam, Shrivas Thakur's son died during one of the nocturnal kirtans, and Shrivas didn't say anything about it because he didn't want to interrupt the kirtan. And finally, it's the place, very famously, where the devotees performed kirtan every night for 1 year. In fact, sorry about that. The devotees, they're all mostly grihastas. They have families. They work. They're doing everything else. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, now let's have nocturnal kirtan. So that means for 1 year, they didn't do anything else except for, they didn't sleep, basically. They did everything they were normally doing in the day. It's not that they stopped doing that. But then all night long they would have kirtan with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we see this around the world. When Srila Prabhupada was with us and pushing on the Sankirtan movement, of course, there are many instances, these kinds of pastimes. One of them notable is from Los Angeles when he demanded suddenly that all 17 volumes of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and there was one pending volume from the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, be produced in 2 months. And the heads of the BBT there said, Prabhupada, that's impossible. And Prabhupada said, not impossible. Possible is a word used in a fool's dictionary. Do it now. And so the devotees converged on Los Angeles, and nobody slept practically for 2 months to get it done. So we're going to go to that place and pray for such inspiration, that we can use the rest of this lifetime for spreading the Sankirtan movement. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Sri Radhakund Ki Jai. Girigaraj Maharaj Ki Jai. So we'll make our way back to the buses, and then we'll be dropped off at Shivasangam for kirtan, and if there's time, we'll have a few words, and then we'll be going back to the ashram. Well, it looks like they're heading down there, so you can't keep them away. So Nirkula is warning us that the bottom step at Radhakund is very slippery. So if you'd like to take a bath, then just charge down there and step on the last step and you'll go falling in. But you can tiptoe down there and get a little water, and also circumambulate Govardhan, and then we'll head back to the bus. So we'll have kirtan all the way down and around, and then we'll see you all at the bus. Hare Krishna.
Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, hey, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman, Nacharyar Marman.